them from one nature and yes. Eve from another nature. No. Nafsan wahida, single soul. And this is the reality of mankind. What matters is that nafs, that soul, that gem, which is common between men and women. So, was woman created for men? Some people, they have this misunderstanding that the main purpose of the creation was man, was Adam, and Eve was just created for, comfort of Adam.
The pleasure.
For the pleasure of Adam. But this is against explicit verses of the Noble Book of Quran, and hopefully, based on the verses of the Quran, I try to reject this misunderstanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Book of Quran that وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, chapter 1, verse 21. And of his signs it is that he created for you mates from your own selves that you may take comfort in them. Now, some people have referred to these verses to say that, see, Allah says that women are created for the comfort of the men. And they continue to say that an khalaqa lakum, kum is a masculine form, masculine pronoun, which means that for you men. But the point is that, first of all, those people who are familiar with the Arabic grammar and Arabic language, they know that when in Arabic language, when you want to address a group of men and women, you use masculine form.
Yes, that's right.
So you are in a session, there are a group of women, even today, there are a group of men and a group of women, and you want just to greet all of them. Do you say assalamu alaykunna, which means feminine form, or you say assalamu alaykum? You say assalamu alaykum, which is a masculine form, but it is addressing both men and women.
That's right.
This is Arabic language. Mm-hmm. So if there is any blame, it should be put on the Arabic language.
That's right.
So in Arabic language, when you're addressing a group of men and women, you use masculine form.
That's right.
And that is why, because some people say that, you see, in all the cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, which is in masculine form.
That's right.
But the point is that it is addressing all men and women, the faithful men and women. This is the language of the Quran, that is the language of Arabic language. And in Arabic language, when you're addressing men and women, you use masculine form.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
In most of the cases, you know, in the Holy Quran, men and women are addressed the same.
Yeah.
I mean, in the same verses, for example, say, and for women are rights over the men, and for those of the men over the women entering the paradise with your wives, you know?
Yeah, that's a very good point. In cases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to mention the sex,
gender.
The gender.
Yes.
He mentions
both of them. Yes.
That is why we have, in many cases, there are, feminine forms which are used because they are addressing only women.
And the wives are your garments, you are the garments of your wives.
I will come to that verse.
Okay. It's a good, okay.
So my point is that this verse that of his signs is that he has created for you mates from your own self is not only addressing men. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about zawj, azwaj.
Yes.
And azwaj is the plural for both zawj and zawja.
Yes, spouses, it's better to say.
Spouses.
Yes, yes.
So the true understanding of these verses is that O men, Allah has created women for you. O women, Allah has created men for you.
That's
for your comfort.
Okay.
And let me go to that verse that you refer to. Hunna libasul lakum, antum libasul lahum.
Yes, yes.
Both of them. You are a kind of cover for the men, addressing the women. And as men, you are a cover for the women. Of course, there are a couple.
That's right.
It is in the interpretation.
Just look at the text of the Holy Quran. For example, we have one separate chapter by the name of the women and Nisa. You know, this shows the respect of the women in the text of the Holy Quran. In that verse, you know, so many rights and keeping justice among the, for example, the women and this and that, all are mentioned by the text of the Holy Quran more than 14 centuries ago. Yeah. Nowadays, some of the so-called, you know, liberal movements are looking for the rights of the women. Just look how the text of the Holy Quran addressed the rights of the women and establishing justice among them 14 centuries ago. This is really fascinating.
Exactly. Let's go to the story of the creation of Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. because many people refer to that to claim that there is a kind of difference between men and women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Yasin, verse 60, says that Alam ahad ilakum ya bani Adam alla ta'budu shaitan. Did I not exhort you, O children of Adam, saying, do not worship Satan? So the verse is addressing all children of Adam. It doesn't specify for men or women.
That's right.
When Adam and Eve were created and they resided in that special heaven, which is not, of course, the eternal heaven, both of them were addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reside and to be away from that tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter Baqarah, verse 35, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. We said, O Adam, dwell with your mate in paradise. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Both of you eat thereof freely whenever you wish. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Both of you do not approach this tree.
That's right.
فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Lest you should be among the wrongdoers. So, if Adam was the main purpose of the creation and Eve was only for the comfort of Adam, it was not necessary for God to address Eve too.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that Khalifa, divine caliph, which is mentioned in chapter Baqarah, verse 30, is referring to both of them. Both men and women who are qualified, they can be the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
Then we go to the next part of the story. Satan tries to deceive both of them. فَأَدَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ. Then Satan caused them to stumble from it, and he dislodged them from what state they were in. Again, this is a lesson, this is a message, that there was no difference between men and women. Both of them asked Allah for repentance. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Both of them said, O Lord, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. If you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will surely be among the losers. So all these verses regarding the creation of Adam and Eve tell us that there is no difference between Adam and Eve. Adam was created as the first human being and Eve as the second human being. But there is no reason that the one who is created later is less.
It's a second class.
It's second class.
No, it's not. Okay.
And according to our narrations, for sure, Eve was not created from the rib of Adam, which
That's
is believed by some of the followers of other religions.
That's right.
He was created from the same clay.
That's
this
right.
is based on the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam.
And Allah's emphasis on creating the pair, you know, from opposite genders, I mean, male and female, we can say, I think, is a nice answer to so many of the liberal movements nowadays, looking after the rights of the movements like the feminists or, these hero things, heroism of the women and the feminist look. But the case is that the women are valued as the men are. We can say it is not as if, for example, as you said, the women are the instrument for joy or pleasurism or something like that, sexualism, just working in the house or doing this or doing that. Oh, it's not.
No, inside the religion of Islam, is faith and righteous deeds.
That's
Min dhakarin wa untha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly mentions that there is no matter of gender. It's
That's
a
right.
matter of faith and righteous deeds. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable people before God are those who are most God-weary. So it's not a matter of gender.
And just look at the remain, we can see different references into the outstanding women of the previous religions, you know, inside the Holy Quran. Maryam, you know, the mother of Moses, we can say, and the other women, you know, in the Holy
and
Quran.
Interestingly, yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to two women as a role model. All human
yes.
beings, mm-hmm. both men and women.
Okay.
And if I have time, I just share one more point. And for those who are interested in knowing in knowing more about the look of the Quran at women, I may ask them to search for the word al-insan, which means human being. In all the cases when the word al-insan or human being, humankind, is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, there is no difference between men and women. There is no discussion of gender here. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 10, verse 4, for example, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, we certainly created a human being in the best of forms. Al-insan is referring to both men and women.
That's right.
Or for example, chapter Ahzab, verse 72, we presented the trust to heavens and the earth and the mountains, they refused, and حَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَان, it was a human being who, undertook it. Or Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Qur'an and he created human being and taught him the speech. Here again, we have the reference to al-insan and not a man, for example.
That's right.
So I asked the dear listeners to search for the word al-insan, and even in some cases, the word might be apparently a masculine word, but as I mentioned, in many cases, it is inclusive. It includes both men and women.
That's right.
According to different chapters, like chapter Nahl, verse 97, as I mentioned, what matters is faith and righteous deeds, and doesn't make any difference. To put it in one word, divine values have nothing to do with gender.
That's all right. And just take a look how the religion of Islam on that time, 14th century ago, brought respect for the status of the women in the religion of Islam in a land that the girls were buried alive. And by the order of Prophet Muhammad, they were banned from doing so. Khadija, the wife of Prophet Muhammad, had a high status in the eyes of Prophet Muhammad. Fatima al-Zahra, as the greatest daughter, part of the body and the flesh of Prophet Muhammad, flesh and soul of Prophet Muhammad, and so many other women and the girls that were respected in the religion of Islam. This is a true look at the religion of Islam, we can say, has for women and the females. And we can say, I hope that one day the liberal capital Western world understands such a look, you know, that we as Muslims have for the women inside the religion of Islam in our society. Thank you much, Shaykh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
Goodbye.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Palestinian protesters took to the streets in the blockaded Gaza Strip following the Friday prayers to condemn Israeli raids on Al-Aqsa Mosque in the occupied city of Al-Quds. Angry protesters shouted slogans against the Israeli regime, vowing to sacrifice their lives for for the sake of Al-Aqsa Mosque. The protest comes following the desecration of the mosque by Israeli settlers backed by Israeli forces. The mosque is the third holiest site in Islam. Hamas resistance movement has warned the Israeli regime against violating the sanctity of Al-Quds.
Al-Aqsa Mosque is a red line that mustn't be crossed. We hold the Zionist entity fully responsible for any attack in Al-Quds. The enemy will only open the gates of hell on itself. The continuation of attacks on the sanctity of Al-Quds will backfire on the Zionist entity and its settlers.
Israeli settlers regularly storm Al-Aqsa Mosque, a provocative move that infuriates Palestinians. The attacks and desecration of the mosque compound increased during Jewish holidays.
We salute our people in Al-Quds and we say to them that Palestinian resistance factions in Gaza will not remain silent amid Israeli attacks on Al-Quds. We also call on all Palestinians and Muslims to mobilize to confront Israel's conspiracies against Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Palestinians have raised the alarm over Tel Aviv's plots to divide Al-Aqsa Mosque into Jewish and Muslim sections or sitting times for visits.
The Zionists have no right to be in Al-Aqsa Mosque because it's purely for Muslims since ancient times. They are trying to control Al-Aqsa Mosque, but all their attempts will be in vain.
Protesters in the Gaza Strip vowed to step up their support for Al-Quds until the end of all the Israeli violations in the holy city. Observers say the world has failed to help Palestinians in Al-Quds while turning a blind eye to Israeli violations against the oppressed people of Palestine for decades. Ashraf Shana, Gaza.
British police have found themselves embroiled in another racism scandal, this time surrounding the killing of an unarmed black man in South London by armed officers on the 5th of September. Following an alleged police pursuit, 24-year-old Chris Carver was behind the wheel of a car hemmed in by two police vehicles in a narrow street before one round was fired, ending his life. He leaves behind a fiancée and an unborn child. No gun was found in the car.
Thousands of protesters have descended outside police headquarters in central London to vent their fury over what they say is gross injustice being carried out by the authorities against Chris and his family. Accusations are swirling around, some of which include that the police who stopped Chris on that fateful day may have known who was inside the car in the lead-up to the fatal shooting. This is, of course, all being investigated, but the protest organisers have made absolutely clear that they are going to refuse to back down until the demands of the family are met and justice be served.
Fighting back the tears, family members spoke of their ordeal after seeing the body for the first time since the killing. News of the shooting has caused uproar, especially in the black community. They feel this was just another example of a racist system out to harm them. Following the backlash, the officer responsible for the shooting has been suspended. An investigation is also underway, but the police watchdog warned it could take 9 months to reach a conclusion. The family expressed anger at the lengthy wait. However, the question of race playing a role will be examined as a factor, providing some small hope that the family's demands will be answered. Robert Carter, London.
Iranians across the country have commemorated Arba'in, the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein. People in the capital, Tehran, marked the occasion too by walking southward to the town of Frey. That was a symbolic walk by those who could not take part in the Arba'in march held in Iraq, where pilgrims from across the world marched toward the city of Karbala, which houses the holy shrine of Imam Hussein.
I'm so sad that I couldn't visit the holy shrine of Imam Hussein this year, but I took part in this walk in Tehran to play my part in preserving the legacy of Imam Hussein.
This is a march for all of the freedom seekers, no matter what their religion is. Imam Hussein sacrificed his life 14 centuries ago to save our religion, so this could be a lesson for all people to uphold righteousness, even if it comes at the cost of their lives.
Imam Hussein is the third Shia Imam and the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. The Shia Imam and his companions were killed by the tyrant of their time, Yazid, during the Battle of Karbala some 14 centuries ago. Every year, on the occasion of Arba'in, millions of pilgrims from different countries travel on foot to get to Imam Hussein's shrine. The march is meant to sympathize with the Imam on the pains he endured during the Battle of Karbala.
To us Muslims, participating in the Arba'in march in Karbala is more than a religious duty, but a passion for preserving Imam Hussein's ideology and promoting it among the new generation.
Imam Hussein and his companions were martyred after they refused to pay allegiance to Yazid, for they believed he did not practice Islam, as taught by the Prophet Muhammad.
As Imam Hussein said, he rose against Yazid to revive true Islam as introduced by the Prophet Muhammad, who was Imam Hussein's grandfather. By his refusal to pay allegiance to Yazid, our Imam exposed the fact that Yazid was not treading the path of Islam.
This year, from Iran alone, some 3.5 million people took part in the Arba'in Walk in Iraq, in a show of respect for Imam Hussein, who is known among Muslims as a symbol of resistance against tyranny.
To Muslims, the Arba'in Walk is of key importance. These people couldn't make it to Karbala this year, but they felt bound to take part in this symbolic march, for they believed by doing this, they would help preserve the legacy of Imam Hussein. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Like the other parts of the Muslim world, Pakistan Shia Muslims observe Arba'in with traditional reverence and solemnity. Thousands of mourners march in streets of Pakistan to pay tribute to Imam Hussein, the grandson of Holy Prophet Muhammad, who embraced martyrdom in Karbala in southern Iraq some 1400 years ago. The battle was fought between the faithful followers of the third Shia Imam, Hussein bin Ali, and Yazidi forces on the plains outside the modern Iraqi city of Karbala, which is home to Imam's shrine, a sacred sanctuary for Shia Muslims.
We believe the legacy of Imam Hussein is a timeless source of lessons about humanity and loyalty that exceeded his time and place. The love for Imam is endless and will continue until the end of this world.
The Islamic New Year, started from the month of Muharram, has been observed all over Pakistan with great dedication. Muharram is the month of mourning for the lovers and faithful followers of Imam Hussein.
We're here to pay tribute to Imam Hussein, his family and his companions who sacrificed their lives to save Islam. The mission of Imam Hussein is the mission of truth, peace and justice.
Similar mourning processions and religious gatherings were held in all major cities and towns all across Pakistan with special security arrangements.
The mourners and religious scholars have highlighted the teachings of Imam Hussein and his uprising against Yazid in Karbala. They regard the tragedy of Karbala as the symbol of resistance against oppressors. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Muslims in Nigeria are also marking Arba'in with a symbolic trek over a long distance. Danjuma Abdullahi reports.
Hundreds of Shia Muslims took to the roads, trekking and chanting to mark 40 days since the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and scores of members of his family and his companions in Karbala in present-day Iraq. The trekkers condemned Yazid and his army for the gruesome killing of the third Shia Imam.
We commemorate this Arba'in in order to show our love and tribute to Imam Hussein and his household and his right companions that sacrificed their life entirely in order to save Islam.
Men, women and children joined millions of other Shia Muslims to participate in the symbolic trek, which was organized by Nigeria's Islamic movement. The trek is held around the globe every year as part of mourning rituals for Imam Hussein. They praise the leadership qualities of Imam Hussein.
He's a leader of justice and humanity. He brought justice and humanity in the world entirely. Why? During the Battle of Karbala, he stands before the oppressors I told them that he stand here not because of his priority, not because of everything, rather to bring justice.
Despite the heavy rain, the marchers trekked for several kilometers and ended their walk here in Suleja.
Prayers were offered here for Imam Hussein, members of his household, and his loyal companions who were martyred at the Battle of Karbala. Danjuma Abdullahi, Suleja.
Every year, millions of pilgrims from all over the world take part in the Arba'een March in Iraq, walking the distance between the holy cities of Najaf and Karbala. In this religious gathering, pilgrims commemorate the third Shia Imam, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, who is a symbol of love and sacrifice. Hussein and his 72 companions were martyred in the Battle of Karbala in southern Iraq in the 7th century after fighting chivalrously for justice and resisting succumbing to the tyrant of his era. The modern example of Imam Hussein's resilience against oppression is Palestine. On the way of the pilgrims marching to Holy Karbala, a monument incarnating Al-Aqsa Mosque grabs pilgrims' attention. There is a convoy named the Al-Aqsa Call, which receives thousands of pilgrims from various countries during Arba'een. Al-Aqsa Call convoy forges a direct link between the oppression inflicted upon Imam Hussein and the one suffered by the Palestinian people in the face of the Zionist regime.
Undoubtedly, the issue of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his oppression is similar to the current oppression against the Palestinian nation. This nation is facing organized terrorism, which is led and carried out by Israel, the fundamental enemy of Islam and Muslims. Therefore, we say the plight of Palestinians is very similar to the story of Karbala. If you want to rise to the aid of the Palestinian cause, we must rise from the origins of the movement of Imam Hussein.
What's happening in Palestine today refreshes the memories of what took place around 1400 years ago. The oppression Palestinians are suffering at the hands of Israeli occupying forces is today's version of Imam Hussein's resistance against the second Umayyad Caliph, Yazid.
Palestinian people, since a century, are facing a war from the imperialism and Zionism, ethnic cleansing, killing women, children, massacres, many massacres were made in Palestine, in Palestinian villages, and prisoners. 1 million Palestinians went to prison since in the past 30 years, 1 million. So Palestine today is Karbala of today, of this time.
Within the big tent that belongs to Palestinians is an exhibition that displays photos of Palestinian martyrs killed by Israeli forces. This, alongside other organized activities, has attracted the attention of younger generations.
As our leader Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, the liberation of Quds will begin from Palestine with God's help. God willing, nothing can hinder us, Iraqis and the Arab and Muslim community in general. We gather around the axis of Hussein, peace being upon him. Today in the Arba'een Walk and in this mawqif, it was shown that Hussein's saga is being honored by our Palestinian brothers. This is a clear reason that depicts the universal aspect of Imam Hussein, showing that he is not specific to a particular sect or religion or group. He's for everyone.
One of the lessons learned from Imam Hussein's revolution is that death with dignity is better than a life with humiliation. And the resistance demonstrated by the brave Palestinian nation in the face of Israeli crimes and oppression is actually similar to that.
Every year during Arba'een, we are reminded that the lovers of justice and liberation from oppression are in the majority. And this mawqif is trying to educate people about the atrocities against the Palestinian people and to teach, especially the younger generation, what the Palestinian cause is. Mahdi Abbasian, Karbala.
As Europe endures its worst energy crisis in 50 years, The French government has promised state intervention will put caps on electricity and home gas prices, but not until next year. France will limit power and gas price increases for households at 15% in 2023. However, the delay means the caps will only arrive after a few more excruciating months, which are likely to see a further boost to the already skyrocketed prices. Many said the plan was not enough, because 15% still represents a massive and historic increase for the average citizen. 15% is almost three times the current and record rate of inflation, and over 40 times the average monthly increase in wages so far in 2022.
Everything is increasing in prices, and everyone sees that, from the average person to the prime minister. The government says the economic and financial context aren't good, but they have used this reason for years in order to avoid helping the average person. We are worried for this winter.
The government received a lot of criticism for not including any new measures to protect consumers at the petrol pump. A recent poll showed that over 40% of France wants a return of the Yellow Vest movement. They began their still ongoing weekend marches in November 2018 due to the high cost of gasoline. Two-thirds of French gas prices are caused by taxes. Gas taxes are regressive and not progressive, because they hurt the poor more than they hurt the wealthy.
We see inflation everywhere, at the supermarket, at the fruit stand, but especially with petrol prices. Transportation is so much more expensive. We're told that we simply have to adapt and cut back, but I think the government could have done more to help us.
France is the rare Western nation which has already in 2022 embraced the socialist-inspired concept of state-enforced price caps. The result has been that France has the lowest inflation rate across the entire European Union this year. The newly announced price caps will cost the state 16 billion euros. That amount is dwarfed by the years of neoliberal and austerity-minded measures which have given hundreds of billions in bailouts, tax breaks, and advantages to the wealthy and corporate classes. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Palestinians have held a national conference to mark 29 years since the signing of the Oslo Accords. Hundreds of people attended the conference, demanding the cancellation of the agreements. In September 1993, the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, signed the Oslo Accords with the Israeli regime on the lawn of the White House in Washington, D.C. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas asserted the failure of the Oslo Accords and called on the Palestinian Authority to withdraw its recognition of the Israeli regime.
As we mark the 29th anniversary of the ill-fated Oslo Accords, we call upon the Palestinian Authority to withdraw from the Oslo Accords and to cancel its recognition of the Israeli regime. Today, we also salute the Palestinian resistance, who managed to liberate the Gaza Strip in 2005. Armed resistance is the key to the liberation of all of Palestine.
The Oslo Accords were meant to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but nearly three decades later, Palestinians consider them as a bad chapter in their history. Attendees slammed the Oslo Accords and expressed their support to resistance against the Israeli regime.
The Zionist enemy will never respect any peace agreements and only understands the language of force. We're here to support armed resistance against the Zionist enemy.
Senior officials attending the conference called on all Palestinians to unite their ranks and adhere to armed resistance against the Israeli occupation.
The Oslo Accords were a stab in the back of the Palestinian people. The Zionist regime is a cancer in the region and it must be removed. All forms of resistance must be used against Zionist forces, and armed resistance is the key to defeat the Zionist occupation.
Observers say the Oslo Accords have only brought calamities to Palestinians and have failed to secure the creation of an independent Palestinian state.
29 years on, Palestinians say that peace accords will not free their land, and it's only armed resistance which will help them regain their rights. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
This is IRIB English Radio. Website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
European countries who take orders from their masters in Washington should be blamed for the current energy crisis across the continent. Unfortunately, European people are being sacrificed by the wrong policies of their leaders. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye had this headline saying, Europe must shoulder the blame for the energy crisis. Middle East Eye, penned by Jonathan Cook, wrote, the same arrogant, self-righteous posturing from the West that fueled the Ukraine war is now plundering Europe into recession. Outraged Western leaders are threatening a price cap on imports of Russian natural gas after Moscow cut supplies to Europe this month, deepening an already dire energy and cost of living crisis. In response, Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned that Europe will freeze this winter unless there is a change of track. In this back and forth, the West keeps stepping up the rhetoric. The Western media has to carry a major share of the blame for these serial failures of diplomacy. Journalists have amplified only too loudly and uncritically what US and European leaders want their publics to believe is going on. But maybe it is time that Europeans heard a little of how things might look to Russian eyes. The West is well practiced in waging economic war on weak states, usually in a futile attempt to topple leaders they don't like or as a softening up exercise before it sends in troops or proxies. Middle East Eye added, worse still, this impulse does not appear to be open to correction, not as things stand. The truth is that NATO and its US ringmaster have no interest in changing. Their purpose is to have a credible bogeyman, one that justifies continuing the massive wealth redistribution from ordinary citizens to an elite of already ultra-rich. A supposed threat to Europe's safety justifies pouring money into the maw of an expanding war machine masquerading as the defense industries, the military, the arms manufacturers, and the ever-growing complex of the surveillance, intelligence, and security industries. Both NATO and a U.S. network of more than 800 military bases around the globe just keep growing. A bogeyman also ensures Western publics are unified in their fear and hatred of an external enemy, making them readier to defer to their leaders to protect them. And with it, the institutions of power those leaders uphold and the status quo they represent. Anyone suggesting meaningful reform of that system can be rounded on a threat to national security, a traitor, or a fool, as Britain's former Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn found out. On a bogeyman distracts Western publics from thinking about deeper and threats, ones that own leaders rather than foreigners are responsible for, such as the climate crisis they not only ignored, but are still fuel through the very military posturing and global confrontations they use to distract people. It is a perfect circle of self-harm. Since the fall of the Berlin Wall and the demise of the Soviet Union, the West has been casting around for a useful bogeyman to replace the Soviet Union, one that supposedly presents an existential threat to Western civilization. Common Dreams website wrote, Europe's energy system is a scam against its own people. Common Dreams website said, amid a growing energy crisis, political leaders across Europe want to divert attention away from their own role in its exacerbation and instead make citizens focus on one only thing, Russia. However, it is far more complex than that. During the recent panel discussion on the energy crisis, Yanis Varoufakis laid out the workings of the European energy market that exists today, one which has long been designed to favor the oligarchy above the people. Varoufakis begins by explaining the Thatcherite model that subsequently extended to the rest of Europe, before outlining the corrupt practice of energy auctioning, followed by the Greek government scam that Ursula von der Leyen wants to implement across the continent, and ended by offering solutions to overhaul this injustice system.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
Yes, everyone, welcome to another episode of Youth Station This
yeah.
is Asma
And this is Bita And we are at IRIB English
here,
Radio Nice to meet you again And, you know, it is a big pleasure for me to have a nice topic today And a discussion, enjoyable discussion with you
Of course, same in here, Bita I'm very happy to be here with you And I'm sure we're going to have some very interesting stuff to share.
And also, I want you, not only you, my sister Asma, but all the people which are hearing to us and listening to us, to be calm. Today we're talking about calmness.
Difficult.
Exactly.
Very
difficult. In modern city, is something even impossible to be calm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the things in life that we should just ignore mm-hmm. to be calm.
Yeah, you know, ever since I was a kid, I remember when I was so much passionate about something, I could not stop being so passionate. So when I'm angry, I cannot just hide it. When I'm sad, it's very much clear from the expression of my face. So I'm not the kind of person who could just hide things. Mm-hmm. But as I grew older, I learned that sometimes you have to ignore things. You know, ignoring is the best way of dealing with difficult situations, isn't it?
Yeah, I do agree with that. But, you know, I think calmness is a sign of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And intelligence means just you have to choose what to see and what not to see wisely.
I guess it's a power.
It's a big power, I think. It's a big strength that I think most of the people just don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I think there is a strong bond between ignorance and talking. You know, your reaction, your physical reaction, your psychological reaction. Because of that, I'm going to talk about these points.
Now you're making a huge proclamation.
I know. And, you know, for example, when you are deciding to talk about something, mm-hmm. it's like you are showing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And there is a narration that tells that, okay, when you don't speak, other people cannot understand who exactly you are.
Yeah.
But the thing is, ignorance, you know, cannot be fulfilled without just being silent,
mm-hmm.
I think. Also, there is a beautiful quote that when you decide to be silent,
mm-hmm.
you will fulfill two characteristics. First of all, you will gain knowledge about other people, about anything, and
yeah.
even about other people who are more knowledgeable than you. And the second one, which is more important, is that you will gain ignorance to the ignorant people, to everything which will annoy you in this world.
Yeah.
And but I think it is a really, really difficult thing to do in this real life and day-to-day life to be silent. I don't say just like keep silent and stay and just stay somewhere and just look at other people like
yeah,
you're a robot
yeah.
or something at all. But sometimes, you know, being known as a dummy is better than being anxious about other people and you know, somehow...
No, I don't agree.
Somehow,
sometimes being anxious
no.
and showing
yeah,
the reaction
to me.
Is just so
I think
nice.
Somehow calmness has a strong bond with being dummy.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you that, for example, you have to act like a dummy to be calm at all.
Mm.
You know, exactly, it was a way, I think, if you know Bohlul in our literature, who was a wise man, he wanted to live calmly.
Yeah, but you know, that's very difficult. Let's admit it, it's very difficult. Sometimes
I'm not telling
even
you.
Even ignoring people who are hurting you, who are very much cruel towards you, is a very difficult thing to do.
Exactly.
Now we have a question. What are the things that irritate you most?
You know, it's not like I'm, for example, a kind of person who will be irritated easily.
Yeah.
I'm somehow kind and
yes,
you know,
you're very
introvert.
Much calm and kind.
And because my, you know, somehow soft personal, I'm not like, okay, shouting or something like that. But the thing is, deep in my heart and even in my brain, I feel like, okay, I'm right now, you know, I'm really irritated and I'm going to kill you. I don't tell that. But in my heart, you know, just I am mesmerized.
It happens
and
to everyone.
To everyone. One of the things which I hate most, and I will react to this one, is lying.
Yeah.
I really hate it. You know, it's not like I'm being a good person right now for you.
Yeah.
I really hate it. You know, it's like, for example, when someone lies to me, I'm like, okay, why? What was your reason? I want a reason. And if you don't
What's
give me a reason, I will kill
honesty?
You.
What's the problem with honesty? Yes. Let's go for a short break and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion. So, dear listeners, this is IRB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station. Let's go for a short little break and then we'll be back in no time. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Welcome back to your favorite cozy corner, Youth Station, here. Asma and Bito are talking about some very interesting stuff, which is keeping calm and ignoring the things that might irritate you.
Which is somehow impossible for me.
Yeah,
at least.
For everyone, I guess.
I don't know.
I asked you a question about what irritates you most, and you said lying. And we were just continuing the discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to ask you the same question. How about you? What is the, you know, the thing which irritates you the most? I'm not telling you just irritates you the most, and you hate it, you know?
Yeah, of course. Hypocrisy, I would say. You know, it's the same as lying.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be another format of lying. But that would kill me. When I see someone is wearing a mask, it's okay to some point, you know? To some point, I would say, okay, that she or he is wearing a mask because they're keeping face in front of people.
Let me tell you something. It's not about being okay. We are always wearing a mask.
Yeah.
You are wearing a mask. You're not yourself. You're not exact yourself with me, for example.
I'm not wearing a mask.
Because, no, I'm not telling you that you're wearing a mask, you know? I'm telling you that a mask is needed in any situation.
Yes, but to the point that you are just trying to put yourself in a special shape that looks like you are fully mannered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to show to people that you are respecting the manners. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have a mask that would just conceal your irritations. You know what I mean?
I know.
I'm a person who gets angry very much easily. It's okay for me to wear a mask and control it. But sometimes the situation gets really hard.
So it's
not easy to just...
control your anger.
Yeah, control your anger with some sort of people that would destroy your
calm. I didn't agree with one part about your speech. You know, you told me that, you know, wearing a mask is a way to control your anger. I do not agree with that one.
Because yes, it is.
No, it's not a way to control it. It's a way to conceal it, to hide it.
See,
nothing more.
When you have an urge to explode at people's face... it's good to control it by wearing a mask and showing that, okay, you're not
controlling
boiling.
You control it for other people, for the environment.
So I told you that hypocrisy really makes me angry, and you said that lying is the thing that irritates you the most.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you want to count some more of factors that are going to...
Exactly, there are many countless factors.
They're countless. But then is there any way to control it?
Of course there are many ways to control it. And I told you that wearing a mask is not a good way to control your anger, you know, because this is for other people. It's not deep in your heart. You know, you have to feel calm. In your soul, you know, and because of
so you mean that we have to heal that sickness from inside.
Exactly, you know, you cannot just erase the main question and just tell them, okay, I solve it at all. The thing is, in our religion, even the bond and the relation that you have with God will help you to stay calm
of
in these
course.
Kind of situations.
Yeah.
And there is a beautiful verse that tells you, you know, the only thing that helps you to be calm in this world is. You know, the dhikr of Allah.
The remembrance of Allah.
Exactly.
Talking to Him, chit-chatting with Him.
It's not like always praying. When you go see nature, when you go to other place, even when you see other people. And there are many colors, many beautiful persons with many different, you know, diversity.
Yeah.
And it is like, okay, what a big world and what a little part of this I am.
Exactly.
So I have just to keep calm. Go on.
This aside from having a deep relationship with Allah and trying to have a special time and a daily basis to talk with Him and share your feelings and emotions with Him, I would think engaging yourself with stuff that would make you feel so much busy in order not to think about the things that irritate you also is going to be another good way of healing your problem.
I do
problem.
Agree with that one. But the thing is, for example, it depends on your personality.
Yeah,
for example,
exactly.
My personality is not that type that I can be, you know, focused on something.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, there is something
and
that
your
really
mind
on
is
my
somewhere
mind,
else.
On my nerve. And it's like, okay, I cannot just concentrate. I just think about that thing and I cannot do my work. I cannot be calm. And it's like, okay, a dead end.
Mm-hmm. But for me, well, it's not just this way. When I have something in my brain, something that keeps going in my mind, I would go watch a movie and then I would go read a poem. And then do something artistic. And then through this engagement, I would feel so much alleviated. And it's going to appease me for some time.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Just the only thing I think I can tell you is that I listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And this music is not just by a singer or something, because I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't say it's not a good art,
it's
for example.
It's just the instrument.
But exactly. The instrument is, I think, something beyond our power. It's something that comes from God. I just feel like that always about
exactly.
music.
You know, sometimes even sitting in nature and listening to the
sound of
water.
Nature.
Yeah, sound of the birds.
The sea even. Looking
yeah,
at the
sea
is one of my favorite hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I think I'm really tired of this world, of these people, I'm really irritated, I cannot just make myself calm. I could just sit in the beach and look at the sea, and it's like, you know, it's like I see God in that.
Exactly.
It's not like I'm telling you jokes or something. I really feel it, you know, from the bottom of my heart.
You know, everyone has their way.
Mm-hmm.
Someone would find peace through through painting. Some others through planting a new flower in their garden. And some others through going for reading books, novels, whatever. And the most important one of these ways is going to have that bond and relationship with
mm-hmm.
Allah, because He is the only Almighty that is going to shower you with blessing of peace.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many ways that you can make this bond stronger, I think. But there is another thing, which we were talking about ignorance, you know.
Yeah.
And ignorance is not always the good thing to do. Sometimes you have to be irritated. Sometimes you have to react to other people, even if it means that you, you know, won't be calm anymore.
Yeah.
And this is the price you have to pay to change the world. You know, you just cannot see somewhere and tell, okay, I want to be calm and I want to ignore everything in this world. It's not possible.
Yeah.
You have to be logical and rational and just act in a moderate way. Like, okay, if I see something which would cross my red lines, I would react. I would be irritated.
Yeah.
I would be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a bad thing sometimes
exactly.
to be calm.
Yeah, exactly. So we were talking about the things that we should skip in order to have a peaceful life, in order to stay more calm. One of the ways to just stay calm is to ignore the things that you think are going to irritate you. And we also shared too much of ways and methods in order to just stay
calm and keep calm after being irritated.
Yeah, even. Get away with all the troubles and problems that would get into our skin and make us angry.
But at last, I want to tell you that nothing can help you more than the thought of God.
Exactly. Of course, constant remembrance of Allah is the thing that would do wonders. So just keep calm. That's the only thing I have to say, because this is all the time that we had for today's episode.
I hope you enjoy all this conversation. And also, don't forget to adopt zikrullah, tatma'innul qulub. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Range of programs, youth, spirituality, culture, Eastern tales, roundtable discussions, politics, all produced by IRIB English Radio.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.